Good evening, Nerd Forensics fans. We are outside of Billy Corrigan's house in Santa Fe, and we've got our folding chairs ready, and we're going to get his belts because he owns the NWA, and we thought that was kind of weird. And he doesn't look like he's got much upper body strength, and he hasn't made a good album in about 20 years. So tonight we're going to do that, and until we see him, we're going to be recording an episode about the most dangerous man to ever be allowed in a ring of any kind, New Jack. In an episode that Jacob calls
New Year, New Jack.
Or, how are you supposed to jack to this?
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeing.
Ladies, gentlemen, and children of all ages, please welcome your main event for tonight, the terrible trio, Sophia Vaca, Jacob Irvin, and Millicent Oriana!
Tonight, I am joined by my co-host,
Jacob Irvin,
and my producer,
Sophia Vaca. I edited it out, but I was acting unproducerly, and I was sitting very, very far back in my chair, but now I'm here.
Yeah, she likes to do that. She abandons us. So again, we're going to be talking about New Jack, and...
Well, he was born January 3rd, 1963 in Greensboro, North Carolina as Jerome Young. His childhood was not happy.
Yeah, like...
To say the least.
Yeah, his mother was, like, attacked by his father, and he attempted to murder her multiple times in front of him. And
at least two times. He stabbed her 5 times in one incident and shot her in the leg during another.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's...
That's the household he came from, and it doesn't look like it got much better from there.
Yeah. After that, he was arrested for, was it robbery?
Yeah, about when he was 15, him and his friends started robbing local stores. They were robbing gas stations, sporting goods stores, jewelry stores. At some point he was arrested and spent 2 years in prison for aggravated robbery. After his release, he worked briefly as a truck driver and then spent the next decade as a bounty hunter.
Okay. And
that's terrifying all on its own.
Yes. And by the end of this episode, you're going to know, like, this is the last dude you would want chasing after you if you had an open bounty on your head.
Yeah, I'd turn myself in.
I'm sure people, like, once he, like, his reputation got out, I'm sure people called their, like, their bail bondsman. Yeah, bail bondsman. And were like, look, man, I'm turning myself in. I don't want him coming after me. I would turn myself in immediately.
Oh, yeah, if I heard New Jack was coming for me, I'd be terrified. Now, granted, this is before he built up his reputation, too. But I feel like 10 years as a bounty hunter, he built up a reputation of some kind.
Yeah.
I noticed that he's the type of person that if you ask who is he, a lot of people just laugh. Like, I was asking you a long time ago, and I was like, oh, God, like, there's so much to unpack about this.
Yeah, and I remember telling you, well, the guy that almost killed multiple people, and...
Yeah.
So, let's get into his... So, he eventually decided that he wanted to get into wrestling.
That was about 1992. He debuted in Memphis, Tennessee in the United States Wrestling Association, where he adopted the ring name New Jack, inspired by the film New Jack City.
And that was the Smoky Mountain, right? That's that one, or is that...
No, that's before.
Okay.
He started building a reputation as, like, kind of like an intense guy, but he wasn't as psychotic yet. basically, at this point in time, there wasn't any there was a WWF, but it was still very region-based wrestling. Like, they were starting to make national circuit, but before that, you had, like, WCW was a southern promotion, where WWF was more like East Coast promotion.
Yeah, it was the Northeast.
Yeah, Northeast. ECW was like mid East Coast, which they were NWA. And then, you know, you had AWA, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, all these different little wrestling alliances and federations that just dotted all over the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they still exist to an extent.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, with how it is now, there's just massive promotions too.
Yeah, which I know the WWF, though, by the 90s at this point, they were nationwide already.
Yeah, they were already, I mean, like, that's what every other promotion was aspiring to be. Same with WCW. They were also big.
They were big competitor. Yeah, they were the big competitor.
Yeah, they were the big
WWF.
Two at that point.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember. That's what I used to watch as a kid, was WCW and WWF, because that's what was on TV.
And yeah, at that point, like the 90s, like the early 90s, that's when like a lot of WWF's like 80s stars were going to WCW.
Yeah, I remember. That's when like Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man and the Warrior and Razor Ramon and...
Well, Razor Ramon and Kevin Nash were a little later.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
they were in WWF to like 94, 95.
Yeah. Yeah, some other people were going into WCW. And I remember that was when Sting first started like ripping off the Crow. And
that was a little later. That was late 90s.
Yeah, it was like 96 when he started.
Yeah, 96.
Doing that. Yeah, that's right. He was still painting his face kind of like the Ultimate Warrior, and he was still
kind of like that surfer.
Yeah, and he was still
God.
He was
like, that's what I never really knew Sting in the early days, so I always thought that was kind of what his gimmick was, is that he was almost like a surfer guy.
Yeah, I know he was tag team with the Bulldog, right?
I don't know. I was always WWF kid, so I never really watched WCW.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that was the thing. I missed out on a lot of the WCW stuff because they were a little bit more old school in how they wrestled.
They were. They were a lot more old school.
Where WWF was more, you know, innovative at that point, so it was more interesting to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean... And that's the thing, too, is neither of them had gotten hardcore, though. Like,
no.
Yeah,
no, this was not the Attitude Era.
Yeah, this is not the Attitude Era. Which
Yeah, it's got to be gruesome, you know. Those people, they like blood, you know. And
I guess.
We'll talk a little about it. Like, anybody that doesn't know, we'll do a whole episode about the Attitude Era. But the Attitude Era was in the late 90s with the WWE. And it's when you started seeing people like Mick Foley, like, doing, like, the extreme stuff. And
so for WWF, the official Attitude Era, where it's universally recognized at the starting point, is when Stone Cold won the King of the Ring, the 96 King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And, you know, he beat Jake the Snake Roberts, who, God.
Yeah, we watched that Grizzly Smith Vice documentary today, and
oh, I feel so much worse for Jake the Snake than I ever did.
Ooh, yeah.
But at this point, Jake's gimmick was, they were weaving in the fat, like his whole sobriety thing, and he was kind of like a born again Christian in his gimmick, and he would like talk about John 3:16 and all of that, and that's where Austin got the famous,
"You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers, and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass."
And that's usually considered the starting point of the Attitude Era.
Which is interesting that they were like leaning on this storyline of the Snake being sober and everything, because as we saw from the resurrection of Jake the Snake,
he was not sober in that period.
Yeah, he did not
get
sober until years later.
He was struggling.
Yeah, I didn't say there was that thing with the dildo and the...
Yeah.
Hey, what's the matter? Oh, that's right. my grotesque appearance.
Like, that definitely, like, yeah, that was later. So he definitely wasn't sober, because nobody in their right mind just starts waving a dildo around during a wrestling match. Yeah, he's...
Although I do hear that if you get hit with a dildo, it can knock you out very easily.
Yes.
Actually, I
think... He didn't use as a weapon.
Oh, what?
He just started, like, thrusting it between his legs.
Oh, wait, that's right. We watched a thing that mentioned that, I think. Or,
yeah, they showed footage of it. Was that two people?
Well, that was the snake that he was using as a...
But he also used a dildo. Yes. He also had a dildo in the snake bag that time.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, get him back to it. The first 2 years of his career, he was just kind of, like, heel, like, just, you know, for those unfamiliar with the term in wrestling, a heel is a villain and a face is your hero. And then, like, a baby face is, like, your, like, super guy. You know, your John Cena's, your Rock's.
Yeah, your Rock's. Your
the guys who can do no wrong, essentially, in terms of the eyes of the crowd.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you also have, like, other terms like, some people find the term offensive, I guess, but jobber.
Yeah, jobber, which...
They're just local talent, usually. Then they were, you know, used to set up and make the pro guys look good.
Yeah.
Or the traveling guys look good, not pro.
Yeah, like the King of Memphis.
Yeah, yeah. They'd make, you know, all the other... The guys that work for WWF look good.
Yeah.
So they'd lose their match, and that was that.
Yeah.
The Velociraptors getting in.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so Nerd Forensics Pig, which is also an animal that's part of the Nerd Forensics family, is currently snorting extremely loud because the cat is outside his door and he wants to hang out with the cat, but every time that he meets the cat, they get into a fight.
And he's the kind of pig where if you look at him, you might be like, well, he has paws like a dog and a snout like a dog. And, you know, ears like a dog, but then you look at him, he's a pig.
And it says that he's an English bulldog on his papers, but he's a pig. He sounds like a pig. If you can hear him right now, it's like Pumbaa when he's, like, snorting in Simba's face. Just... Getting back to New Jack.
So, yeah, 92 to 93, he's just kind of on his own, doing his own thing. Working for a couple promotions. In 94, that's where he met the man who is surprisingly, I think, more crazy than New Jack, Mustafa Saeed, who would become his tag team partner.
Which, I mean, we were watching a New Jack documentary earlier, like, as part of a way to get ready for this episode, and we were watching this thing about how Mustafa Saeed smoked pencil shavings and some shit that was growing out of the bricks on the building that they were at. And he was like, this is the new shit. I'm high as fuck. Then he attacked the police because the police wanted to fuck him.
That's what he was saying anyway.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a deep dive and some research as much as we can about Mustafa Saeed and try to bring you an episode about him at some point. Because... Oh, Lord, I bet there's more. Right. But yeah, they formed the tag team, the Gangstas. And that's where he basically joined Smoky Mountain Wrestling together after that. They were told to make the crowds call them the N-word, essentially, and other racial slurs because they were playing heels, and that meant they were doing a good job.
Yeah, and this was Tennessee.
Specifically, he was told, New Jack was told to go piss off a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
Which I bet he loved that.
And I mean, personally, I would. If somebody, like, even as a white person, somebody told me, go piss off a bunch of white people, I'd be like, seriously? That sounds great. That sounds like a fun job. I mean, the racial slurs, that can't be easy for anybody, though.
Oh, yeah, and in the documentary you're watching, is like the one thing that he could never get used to.
Yeah, it's one thing that none of them could get used to. Him and D'Lo Brown and...
Probably Mustafa Saeed, but he wasn't in it, so...
Yeah, but yeah, probably Mustafa Saeed as well.
Yeah, he probably didn't like it either.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, too, though. I mean, And this was also the height of, like, Rodney King and OJ. So, like, America was really, like, polarized at that point. It was like the Trump presidency.
Speaking of OJ Simpson.
Nothing but rednecks up here. Nothing but geeks up here. Nothing but coal miners up here. Chicken farmers. Klansmen. I don't like nobody but my partner. You understand? I don't care who you line up in front of me. I'm going to show you how bad New Jack and Mustafa is. You want to talk about violence? Violence to you might be putting somebody in the figure four. Violence to me is taking a can of gas and pouring it on you and setting you on fire. Like me or not, I didn't come up here to be like. I came up here to get paid. And whoever you put in front of me, I'm going to drop you down. I'd like to send a special shout out to my homeboy, OJ Simpson. Keep up the good work, baby. Two less we got to worry about. You understand? Keep up the good work.
Him riling up the crowd and everything, I remember it. I remember making a off the. I remember making a comment earlier about it, like wrestling in many ways being kind of like this outlet for a lot of people, and like
that's what generates the most heat.
Nikita Kolov was like
Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, Nikolai Volkov. Yeah,
yeah, Nikolai Volkov
was one of the biggest heels of the 1980s.
Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik. You know who two biggest heroes of the 80s were, probably?
Who?
Sergeant Slaughter.
America's hero. Man, right?
What?
No.
Not the Hot Dog Man?
No. He's America's hero. He was a G.I. Joe.
Yeah. And the Hot Dog Man.
And the Hot Dog Man.
Which is
what's his name again?
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I have a question, though. What's going on with Hulk Hogan's hair? It's blonde, and yet it's silken like that of a Chinese man.
Ah, yes. That is Hulk Hogan's signature look. Blonde Chinese hair and skin of a hot dog.
Hollywood Hulk Hogan now.
Yeah. He was the other hero of the 80s besides Sergeant Slaughter, which Sergeant Slaughter eventually left, though, to go help G.I. Joe defeat Cobra.
Yep. And, you know, choke out other wrestlers who were, like, roid raging.
Yeah.
Wait, is G.I. Joe a wrestler?
No.
No, we're talking about G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter left the WWF to go help the G.I. Joes fight Cobra. I'm serious.
He was a legitimately a member of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, the cartoon. He was like...
Oh, yeah. For a second I was like, wait, is G.I. Joe like a military unit too?
No, he left wrestling though to go
No, we're talking about the shitty cartoon Hasbro made to sell his cheap plastic hogs. Yeah.
Those loonies are gonna blow up the ocean.
We'll blow up the ocean!
Quick, everyone, to the action figure storage vehicle.
Yeah, but that was the thing, was Vince McMahon wasn't going to sign off on him selling his likeness as a toy that wasn't a wrestling toy unless they gave him a cut. And Sergeant Slaughter was like, well, screw you. Because Hasbro offered him like a stupid amount of money. And he was like, well, I can go wrestle for somebody else who can pay me next to nothing. Because turns out wrestlers don't make shit.
Yeah, it's kind of like a terrifying life, it seems like.
It's like being a carny, because it is being a carny.
Unless you make it big, yeah. Which, that's the dream for all of them. Everybody who puts on a fucking wrestling outfit, they want to be The Rock.
They want to be The Undertaker.
Yeah, they want to be The Undertaker. Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold. They want to be these people.
Oh, yeah. I always think about that. Everybody who starts off, doing basketball when they're, like, a teenager, or, like, most people do, or most people who, like, start off, like, you know, doing hustling business or, like, you know, selling drugs or whatever. Everybody wants to be at the very top, but very few people will ever make it.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Dave Chappelle had Elon Musk on stage this week because he wanted to be Elon Musk?
I mean, I didn't think about it, but yes, he does.
Huh.
Well, that probably won't be topical by the time this comes out.
No, but, you know, it happened this week.
You hear about what Calvin Coolidge did, though?
I did hear about what Calvin Coolidge did.
Country needs every ounce of its energy to restore itself.
He couldn't take a bullet.
Wait, is he the one who took the bullet?
He's one of the guys who took a bullet, I think. No, he didn't. That's right. It was McKinley.
He should have taken a bullet.
Probably. I mean, I know that he was like a known Klansman.
Anyways. Also, you brought up the Rodney King incident. Well, one of the things that New Jack did in Smoky Mountain Wrestling was a reverse Rodney King incident, because he oftentimes feuded with the babyface as the Rock and Roll Express. So at one point, he had like four other dudes come down to the ring with him and just beat one of them with a nightsticks.
And then they had to be escorted by the police because there was a lynch mob
waiting for them. That's what kind of inspired his decision to, we need to get the fuck out of here. And then he went to ECW.
Yeah, and then he went to ECW.
Where, I don't know if you could say he shined, but...
Oh, he definitely shined in the ECW.
Shined like a fire that consumes.
Like a supernova.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because the ECW rewarded, like, violence and insanity. I mean, ECW was extreme wrestling, and which, for people out there that don't know, extreme wrestling is, like, where you have guys, like, breaking fluorescent tubes over each other's heads and, like...
Thumbtacks, barbed wire, fire.
Just props I'm always bringing.
That's not a prop, though. That's sharp razor wire.
Sometimes explosives if the promoter's really insane.
New Jack had that bat wrapped in razor wire that one time, right?
Lots of times.
Lots of times he had that.
Oh, Jesus. More than once?
Lots of times. Oh, yeah.
I know he beat up the 70-year-old man with that.
Well, we'll get to that.
Oh, that's later.
That's later. Yeah, but
this is probably New Jack's most prolific time in wrestling is during ECW, because it really was at the height of the extreme wrestling.
Oh yeah, I mean, we watched him throw a guy onto a trampoline that the springy part had been taken out.
Just replace the barbed wire.
It was just a trampoline with a bunch of barbed wire inside it.
Now ECW is its own can of worms, because it is it was insane.
Yeah, so yeah, it was absolute madness the way the ECW worked.
But, I mean, that's where he kind of had his best, where he was at his most famous, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's when he had, like, an action figure of himself made.
And he was dropping 15 to 40 feet, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or 40. What wasn't 40 the last one, was it?
30.
Yeah, 30 feet.
Like... Because that was the thing about ECW, was how big of a bump can you take? And not in terms of drugs. A bump is a fall in wrestling.
Yeah. He also could take really big bumps.
Oh, though. He was talking.
Oh, he was taking.
He was talking constantly about doing as much cocaine as he could.
Yeah, that's the other thing you got to remember, what was fueling this madness was more cocaine than any of us have ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also his, we'll get to his forehead.
Yeah, we're about to get to that.
Well, that's where this started happening. If you look at the more... Because New Jack is no longer with us. He has passed away.
Yeah, he passed away
this year. But if you look at his later photos, it really looks like somebody literally took a cheese grater to his forehead.
Yeah, his forehead is, like, indented and, like, scarred up. I mean, scarred up, you know, from, obviously, some of the...
The blading.
The blading, which is a trick that wrestlers do where they slice their skin and then open it up after it heals, right?
Yeah.
Or there's other method where you could open it directly in the ring, right?
Yes. Sometimes they would just take a shot hard enough that it split the skin.
I see.
So that was always an option too.
That was the hard way, like
they're talking about
just getting punched real hard or hit real hard, but blading's the way to make it look easier, like make it look like all bloody with.
Well, and another thing that they would do is that if they knew they were gonna bleed, they would take aspirin to thin their blood.
Oh, that makes sense.
Also, as New Jack was saying, he was also drinking vodka, like...
And doing coke at the same time.
And doing coke at the same time before going out to wrestle, so I'm sure his blood was super thin.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, like...
So, yeah, this is probably the most well-known thing that New Jack is, like, infamous for, is the mass transit incident. Dubbed after a kid who went by the name Mass Transit. His name was Eric Koulos. Somehow he got into ECW, an ECW event, and the guy that New Jack was supposed to wrestle was out due to a family emergency for the night. So they're like, let's put this guy in. He says he's a wrestler.
Yeah, and he was supposed to wrestle these two little people that he came in with, But he kind of burned them and was like, nah, I'll go wrestle New Jack.
Yeah. He told ECW he was 21 and had a couple years experience. In reality, he was 17 and this was his third match. Mm-hmm. Basically, we find out that New Jack has a lot of problems with impulse control, it seems.
And he doesn't like people. He doesn't like what he perceives as insults.
Yes. Because the kid was, and I kind of understand where he's coming from, because the kid came up to him and was like, hey, can I backdrop you through a table? And being an amateur to a veteran, you probably shouldn't be suggesting things. You should walk up and be like, hey, what do you want to do tonight?
I'll follow your lead tonight.
Yeah, like, that. You shouldn't try to have ideas on your own.
Yeah, but definitely, he definitely overreacted.
Yes, New Jack saw this as a perceived slight, an insult. So he pulled out a surgical scalpel and started cutting the shit out of the kid's head.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, and then stomping on him as he was bleeding.
Yeah. Jumping on him, hitting him with crutches, all this stuff. And then
before this, it was like 5-10 minutes of New Jack just wailing on him beforehand, too.
Yeah.
And then he pulled out the scalpel and started just essentially scalping him.
Yeah, like he cut a giant incision across his forehead.
Apparently one of the side effects of it was that he lost feeling in like a big chunk of his forehead.
Yeah.
And oh my god, the video we saw of it, there was just blood pouring out. It was horrifying.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean,
arteries got cut.
Oh yeah, I mean, I have a cut just from here to here on my forehead that didn't even go like that deep. I mean, I had to get stitches for it and everything. But I was laying down in a pool of blood that filled up a whole corner of a bathroom, and over a period of like 10 minutes. So the forehead just bleeds a ton is what I'm saying.
It does.
And he definitely, again, he overreacted.
But yes, he overreacted. New Jack was arrested and brought to court. But basically, they worked the lawyer and the judge and the jury because apparently the father used racial slurs against New Jack in the back, and the jury didn't like that. And also because the kid had lied about his age and experience,
which totally made him liable in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, the fact that set a precedent. For his, also, I feel like they moved too quickly away from the idea of, like, he pulled out his scalpel.
Yeah, I mean, the beating the shit out of him was probably sufficient.
Yeah.
Scalpels are used by surgeons.
Yes.
Yeah. But,
speaking of precedent, it's funny you bring that up, because now the guys at ECW were like, cool, as long as two people agree, we can do whatever the fuck we want. And things got way crazier in the company after that. That's when he started doing like 30-foot dives.
Yeah, and when he started throwing people into like trampolines full of razor wire and shit.
Because now he was given free rein by the U.S. legal system to do whatever he wanted if people came into the ring with him.
Yeah.
And were they suing him, or
they were prosecuting him. And eventually his family took him to court and they lost again.
Yes.
Okay. But it was they did have a criminal trial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Assault, battery, attempted murder.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
Yeah.
And then after losing the cases and the subsequent like mental anguish and depression that came, eventually Eric Koulos did pass away due to an unrelated event.
Yeah, it was a gastric bypass gone wrong.
Yeah, so New Jack did not seem very sympathetic about it, though.
No, he did not. He was just like, well, I didn't kill him, so I don't care. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, yeah, I get not being sorry that somebody you're not, you know, related to is dead in any way. But it is, you know, you can say, yeah, it's a tragedy. That sucks.
Yeah, you injured him on purpose.
Yeah.
You did that on purpose.
Yeah, and he shouldn't have maimed him. He should have, you know, I think beating the shit out of him was sufficient enough. And again, I think even that might have been an overreaction. I think, you know, if he had just like hammered him one good time, that would have been enough for a perceived insult. And again, most normal people, no, you shouldn't do that. But as a pro wrestler, that's what they're going to freaking do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the tip of the crazy iceberg from...
Because, yeah, you'll notice the pro wrestlers, they get pissed off at somebody. It's like, oh, that's when I made a move land and hurt. So, yeah, from the mask...
Because it's carny shit, anyway. Because,
yeah, it's carny shit. Exactly. Forget about it. It's carny town.
So, basically, over the next few years, ECW was a goddamn madhouse, just... everybody pushing the boundaries as far as they could go. Now the next, like, biggest notable thing in New Jack's career was the 2000 pay-per-view, Guilty as Charged. During the match, she was wrestling a guy named Vic Grimes. They had a set where they were going to fall off a 15-foot scaffold. And at the last moment, Vic Grimes freaked the fuck out and couldn't do it and hesitated. And as New Jack, he said, we're going on three, one, two, three, and pulled him off. Vic Grimes, we watched it, does a weird flip and lands on New Jack's head and fractures his skull. He lost vision in his right eye.
And he leaked spinal fluid.
Yeah, he leaked cranial spinal fluid. New Jack claimed he had migraines every day from it and insomnia.
Which is a clear sign of frontal cortex damage.
Yeah.
Like, frontal cortex damage produces very reproducible things. And also, I wanted to mention, I went on PubMed and read some stuff about frontal cortex damage before we did this episode. And there's a case of this patient who wasn't supposed to drink from a specific water fountain and agreed not to. Because he had really bad frontal cortex damage, he kept getting the water anyway, and he kept being like he couldn't control his actions. So I feel like that explains some of the more egregious actions, at least after this. But as we see, he was pretty... messed up before this. I mean, he had an abusive childhood and all that.
New Jack also broke his leg. While injured, he defeated the leader of the group he was wrestling.
Wait, he broke his leg on which match? A different match?
No, in the same match. He broke his leg, fractured his skull, had spinal fluid leaking into his brain, and he finished the goddamn match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez.
And he won it.
I thought they carried him out in a stretcher.
No, he finished the match and won it because that's the type of insanity ECW was putting on in those days.
They made a movie about him and they called it Terminator 2.
Pretty much.
No kidding. Like, that, now you're starting to understand. If he was the bounty hunter chasing you, you'd be like...
Trade places!
Oh my god, he was back to wrestling by December of that year.
When was the match?
March.
Oh man.
So he took like...
9 months.
Which he was already like doing promos by September. He was already doing in-ring stuff, not wrestling full matches. But his last match in ECW was December 17th of that year. And that injury happened on March 12th.
And then ECW folded, right? Like, that's why...
Like, right around 2001, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why he...
Yeah, it closed due to bankruptcy a month later in January 2001.
Mm-hmm, thought so.
And that's when WWF fully bought it, took it over, and revamped it. And then they tried to bring it back a couple years later, and it was not good.
Well, yeah, TNA, right?
No. TNA is still owned by AWA. Or, no, the NWA. It's still owned by NWA, was. When they sold ECW, it was because ECW was like an offshoot that was technically owned by the NWA, but was also its own independent thing.
Okay.
There was no way in hell New Jack was going to be hired by the WWF.
Why? Too much of a liability?
They saw it that way.
Yes, it was.
Because he's prone to just saying whatever the hell he wanted on the mic. He was prone to just hurting people over perceived insults. After that cranial injury, I'm sure he was only starting to get worse.
Yeah, so then he joined up with a promotion known as
XPW.
Yeah, which
well, okay, he also did independent circuits at this point too.
Yeah, which XPW, it was started by some weird gross porn guy who looked like Jonathan Davis, like a fat Jonathan Davis.
And somehow every time he cut his hair, he looked worse.
Yeah, he looked worse.
He looked more gross.
Yeah, every time, like
he started out with as a white guy with dreads.
Yeah, and then he cut him off, and he just kept looking worse every time we saw him.
Oh, and he runs a hamburger shop / porn store /
head shop / wrestling promotion.
Because he's opened up XPW again.
He's also opened up the people to a world of salmonella. Probably.
I wouldn't eat there.
I wouldn't eat there either. They
put lube on my burger.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat anywhere that you can buy porno and hamburgers.
Did you mess with it? Did you come in it? Did you come in my burrito?
I didn't come in your burrito. I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat there. Oh, my God. I wouldn't eat anything this man ever served. Like, even in a barbecue at his house or something. I wouldn't want to be his friend in the first place.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I wouldn't want this guy, touching anything I've ever, handled or anything.
I wouldn't want to breathe the same air as him. Yeah.
Yeah, this dude's just gross. Who the fuck gets out of jail and goes, I'm going to open up a hamburger shop and turn it into a porn shop and a head shop and restart my wrestling promotion?
A person who cannot control their impulses or addiction.
And somebody who's listening to that Tom Tom Club song and actually understands it. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, so we won't get too much into this because there's a whole Vice documentary about the XPW, but this guy... Give it a watch. This guy, he took on the U.S. government...
On something really stupid and awful.
Yeah, really awful and gross and stupid and weird, and he totally, He went to jail and he got out and, like I said, hamburger shop, head shop, porn shop, wrestling promotion.
He does it all. He's a multitasker.
He doesn't learn his lesson and he just makes things worse.
There was also no way he's got his books correct. I am sure the IRS will come down on him like a hammer one day.
Like a hamburger.
No. No.
No.
No. Sorry, I just had to.
It's not a hamburger, it's a hammer. Anyway.
Being the genius that man, the dipshit who took on the U.S. government in the legal battle was, he decided in 2002, February of 2002, to put Vic Grimes and New Jack in a match again.
When you eat through plastic tube, when you are paralyzed from neck down, then your family will gather around your hospital bed to see the new day.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right?
Against each other. Except this time, the stakes had to be way higher. 40 feet high.
Oh, God.
Because that's how tall the scaffold above the ring went.
So it was 40 feet.
Yes, it was a 40-foot scaffold match.
Yeah, which they didn't have it insured. They, forged insurance paperwork.
It's unknown whether the owner knew the history between Vic Grimes and New Jack, or if he just didn't care, because it'd be a great, it's going to be, make money, it's going to sell, it's going to be a bloodbath.
It's got to be gruesome, you know, those people, they like blood, you know.
So, the goal of this match was the two competitors would climb up the scaffolding on both sides of the ring, and one would get thrown off. Now, New Jack kept telling everybody he's not taking that bump. He's not going to do that fall. Now, he went to a pawn shop earlier that day, and he bought himself a brand new little toy for that match.
I went out walking for a couple of hours last night. I walked through the boys' neighborhood. I bought that in a little pawn shop just 2 blocks from the boys' house. It cost $6. It's against the law.
He got himself a stun gun and
some cocaine and some vodka.
And they got up to that scaffold and he zapped him. He zaps him like 3 times. And then he looks at him and he said, Jack, I can't feel my legs. And he said, well, that's okay. You don't need them.
And then he threw them off. Now, the ring had like 4 tables, like the wooden tables that they usually throw people through, like stacked on top of each other. So it wasn't just a straight drop. He did go through a number of those tables his way down.
He clipped one of the tables.
Yeah.
And he got lucky he did, because, I mean,
it's amazing. He clips the table, kind of slides down perfect, and then his feet hit the top rope, and it springs him back into the ring.
And the worst injury he had was a broken ankle.
Yeah. No, not even that. A dislocated.
Yeah, dislocated ankle. But
had he not, New Jack even says
that he wanted to explode him like an egg.
Yeah, he was like, if only I'd thrown him harder.
Yeah.
I was like, when he cut that other guy, remember, he was yelling at the crowd, I hope you bleed to death, which would have been very bad during a murder trial.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
that would have been very bad during a murder trial.
Yeah, it's a good thing that guy didn't die.
Oh, I know.
So, and after that, Vic Grimes climbed down and he just started talking mad shit to Vic Grimes. And he's like, I got you back. We're even now.
And that day he quit the XPW.
Yep. He got his revenge. That's all he wanted.
And that was the end of that. So,
then he started wrestling the independent circuit again.
And, I mean, next.
Ooh, the next entry is.
We watched him beat an elderly man who looked like a plucked chicken.
Oh, yeah, he was supposed to be impervious to pain, and yeah, New Jack was like,
Gypsy
no.
Joe was his name, and he was tough as leather.
Yes, and I apologize in advance to any Romani listeners we have.
Yeah, that's not a good name.
But yeah, Gypsy Joe was his name.
Well, he was 72 in 2003, so...
he's probably dead now, but...
He's probably long dead now, especially after what New Jack did to him, because my God... You said he looked like the Lorax.
Yeah, he looked like the Lorax and Danny DeVito had a baby.
Yeah.
Which Danny DeVito already kind of looks like the Lorax, so...
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
It's an even more Lorax-looking Danny DeVito, I guess.
I speak for the trees.
Yeah, he started beating, like... Okay, so the guy said... Listen to me, kid. I got a lot I could teach you. Which New Jack took as an insult.
Because he'd been wrestling for about a decade by this point. A little longer.
And
if you can call that wrestling.
So he started hitting this guy. And the guy's gimmick is that he's impervious to pain. So he wasn't selling any of New Jack's moves.
So that made Jack mad.
So he took a bat covered in razor wire and started beating him with it.
In the head.
In the head.
In the head. This was at a Ramada Inn.
Yes, at a Ramada. He beat an old man in a Ramada.
Like, this isn't even like a college gymnasium they're in. This is a Ramada Inn.
God.
This is like the banquet hall.
Yeah, it's like the banquet hall of a Ramada Inn. He's beating this old man and like...
with a baseball bat. He was saying that that the people in the audience were calling him the N-word, and well, the video I was watching, I could mostly just hear people yelling no and stop.
Stop! He's already dead.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
Maybe he was just hearing it. Maybe.
Maybe the squirrels in his head went a little nutty.
Boom! Sometimes loud noises make the squirrels go in my head, and I don't fight in the ring anymore, but I still fight with the demons in the maniac's head.
Maybe, though, maybe one dude said it to him.
And it just set everything off.
Who knows? But
who
like,
knows?
He beat the shit out of this old guy.
It was a 72-year-old man, and he, like, wailed on him with a bat.
And like threw a row of chairs on him.
Yeah, he threw a row of chairs on him. He was hitting him with barbed wire and streaking that across his body.
Oh, no, not his hair. And he had good hair. Yeah, you're done. You already messed up. What are you doing now? His phone, no. No, don't go deleting his contacts. He's not going to know whether to answer it or not. You're finished now. That's good. Look what you did. Now we were in the middle of something. And now what? What's going on here? What are you doing there? Oh, that's permanent. That's a permanent silly mustache. Oh, now he looks like a sleeping musketeer. That's adorable, but it's ridiculous. He can hardly wash that off. That's what? Where you go? What is that?
Nah, what the? What are you doing?
Well, you're putting it in his hand. That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense. Oh, Andy. Oh, that's hilarious. But save that for a slumber party.
Yeah, he
did everything he could to him.
It was horrible. It was.
I'm surprised he didn't die.
Yeah, that he was. Maybe he was impervious to pain.
Maybe he actually was. You know.
I mean, he did survive the depression. No, just kidding.
Oh, that's good. Well, he's
apparently Joe did headbutt New Jack in the nose and hit him in the face a couple times, it seems like.
Okay, well then he made his choice, it sounds like. I don't feel that bad for him anymore. It sounds like he made a choice and he had to live with it. Okay, never mind. It sounds like that guy made a choice.
Now, it does say it is confirming here that the crowd was calling him the N-word, and Jack stated, the more they called me a blank, the angrier I got, and the more I beat the guy up.
Okay, so the crowd was calling him the N-word, and okay, Joe made his decision when he actually hit New Jack.
That guy, New Jack had a reputation by this point. Almost killed two people in the ring already.
Yeah, so now we're at guy number three.
This is in October 2004. You notice how they're year after year after year?
Yes, he's just, all right. And
This is October 2004 for Thunder Wrestling Federation in Jacksonville, Florida. He was wrestling a guy named William Lane. When we were watching the documentary, it seemed like the dude was scared of New Jack and he freaked out.
What the fuck am I doing? All my normal, sensible cowardice has got overridden by stupid love. Oh, God.
You all right, Mark?
Yes. No, I don't know.
What's the matter?
I think I'm actually very hungry. How about, shall we not jump and just have lunch?
What?
I'm genuinely really, really hungry. Too hungry to jump.
Yeah, guys, you're on.
Look, Mark, just relax and I'll be with you all the way.
No, I don't want to go. I need a sandwich.
Looks like we got ourselves a Humpty.
Mark, it's too late to back out now, so just try and stay calm.
Come on, Humpty. All you got to do here is cling on to your girlfriend.
I'm not his girlfriend.
Stop calling me Humpty.
Look, come on, Mark.
No, no, no. I'm hungry. All right, I'm too bloody hungry to jump. I'm too bloody hungry to jump.
I could knock him out and it'll spare me.
Well, okay, so the guy initially wanted to wrestle New Jack. He was the one who came up with the idea. William Lane. He came up with the idea, and the promoter was like, okay, we can do this. And then it, like, as it started getting closer and the more dawned on him what he signed up for, he started freaking out.
Actually, first the promoter was like, I don't know if you want this.
Oh, yeah. He insisted.
Yeah, and then the promoter was like, okay. And he started talking to New Jack, and Jack told him what he wanted to do. And he just, like, was like, yeah, whatever. And just started, like, cutting him off and...
Now, we think New Jack was saying things like, all right, so I'm going to hit you with this ladder, and then I'm going to cut your face open, and then I'm going to just drop my knee into your teeth.
Yeah, and the guy was like, I don't want that. And, like, we think that he was scared, and that's why he started punching
New Jack.
In the face. And...
Well, New Jack pulled out a metal blade from his camouflage wrestling attire and started stabbing Lane. Multiple times in the head and back. Now New Jack states that he only stabbed him 9 times, but he was arrested for stabbing him 16.
Yeah, and According to Jim Cornette, who is a wrestling historian, that is the first time in the history of wrestling that anybody's ever stabbed anybody in the ring.
Jeez. Yes, he actually did make history there. I mean, his whole career is history, but it's not like...
I mean, as
I
like how
horrifying history.
Oh yeah, it's like he said, people are still talking about it 20 years later. It's like, that's not always a good thing.
It's
we're
like
still talking about it. You get how that's worse, right?
Yeah, it's that whole thing. You get how it's worse, right?
Now, in an amazing turn of events, the guy agreed to drop the charges if New Jack would like do an angle with him, and like he would be like chasing New Jack all around Florida trying to get his revenge, and New Jack would be going from promotion to promotion. And New Jack said, okay, drop the charges first. Now, do you think New Jack kept his end of the deal?
No, why would he?
Nope, he did not. He just left Florida.
Yeah, he just left Florida.
And never talked to that guy again.
Then he wrestled a little while longer. And
I guess he was in TNA for a minute.
Yeah, for a minute.
He was in TNA for a minute. Yeah, I mean, basically after nothing like major happened in his career after that. I mean, he was set to face former UFC star Phil Baroni in an unsanctioned match at a Pro Wrestling Syndicate event at the Starlin Ballroom in Sayre, New Jersey.
Oh my God.
Sayreville, New Jersey.
That would have been scary.
And that was like in 2016.
Yeah, 2016 I heard was when he
started
getting sick.
Honestly, after that he kind of calmed down, it seemed. Because I think he realized, oh shit, I can't stab a person in the ring.
Yeah, and...
Because they called the cops on him, and like... when he did that, and like they just said it's a black man in camo stabbing a white man, so the cops treated it exactly as that situation.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So they came in guns drawn, ready to blow him away.
Yeah, in Florida.
It looks like he retired around then and just didn't really do much after that. His final match was with ECW alumni C.W. Anderson and Shane Douglas.
From what I read, it said about 2017 was he was too sick to wrestle. So I'd assume it's 2016.
Yeah.
Because it says 2016 to present, and 2017 he was too sick to do anything. So I'm assuming it's 2016.
Yeah, it looks like he wrestled his final match in 2016 against fellow ECW alumni C.W. Anderson and Shane Douglas. He then had to take time off for surgeries, and then I think his health just deteriorated from there.
Yeah, by the end of his life, he was apparently in a wheelchair.
He had blood clots in his legs.
And from pretty much the only other thing we could really get about the end of his life is his son is a drag queen who goes by the name Washington Heights, and he said some really terrible stuff to the kid, and... yeah, that's about all the information we can find out his later life.
Now, Heights did state after his death that New Jack, he was proud of me. He wanted to fix things, but didn't know how. So it seemed like they were trying to repair their relationship to a degree, but again, he didn't know how.
Yeah, and I mean. That's pretty much the end of all of that.
In the documentary, he said he wanted to die in a wheelchair doing cocaine, and I think that is how he died.
Yeah, I mean, he died of heart failure and...
Heart attack,
yeah. And that was this year or last year?
Last year. May 14th of 2021.
All right, well, and yeah, so...
He was only 58 years old.
And that's going to be the career of New Jack. And,
I mean, he will always be remembered by people who like pro wrestling.
Yeah, he'll always be remembered by people who like pro wrestling. He'll always be remembered by people that like hardcore wrestling. He'll always be remembered by people that like to check that crazy shit out.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a strong stomach, go watch some of New Jack's matches. They're
pretty gruesome.
It's gotta be gruesome, you know?
It's the same fascination you get from seeing a car wreck, I guess.
And, yeah, so I just want to say thank you very much for joining us for our first ever sports episode. We had been wanting to do a sports episode, and we'll have more coming up soon. But, yeah, this was our first sports episode, and here at Nerd Forensics, we'd like to say, like always, keep eating your Patriot porridge, support the porridge party, and when you go to the bathroom, it's like having a funeral for your food. Good night.